just when we get into the holiday season, this COVID-19 virus has got to start rearing its ugly head all over again. I mean, can someone tell me why Julius Randle's getting emotional about the fans? I really don't understand it. A familiar face has made their NBA season debut this past Sunday after a two-year layoff due to injuries. All that and more coming up in just a second on 94 Feet. Like 2021 just flew by. I mean, we're nearly approaching 2 years since this whole COVID and pandemic thing kicked off. And honestly, it feels like it was just yesterday. Just yesterday. I feel like I can still remember where I was. I was sitting, it was March 2020. I was sitting in Costa Rica on a resort. I was enjoying my wonderful tropical climates. And life as we know it, I came back and it was changed forever. Changed forever. I'll never forget it. What's going on, guys? This is 94 Feet, your host, B.O.D.A. here with you. Happy New Year to all my listeners. I hope you guys are doing well. I hope your year is off to a good start. I hope that you guys enjoyed the holiday season. My hope is that you guys had some time to just rest, relax, enjoy Christmas, enjoy New Year's. I know I certainly did. But as we know, life goes on. We are in a new year. It's 2022. I've never really been a person to make several different New Year's resolutions. That's never really been my thing. And I certainly don't hate on those that do, for those of you guys that have your list made out, whether that be internally or just, you know, physically on paper. I guess for myself, it's always the same thing. It's the same New Year's resolution in terms of recognizing what worked in the past, what didn't work, keeping those things going that were working, assessing those things that didn't work and how to fix it and keep going. My goal every year is to do better than the year prior. Hey, listen, like I said, no disrespect to those of you that have New Year's resolutions. But anyway, this is 94 Feet. If you are new, we get into a lot of different things on this podcast. It is a mixture of sports, and we're always looking to bring some element of positivity, some element of a new perspective to share with you guys. So I will be joined on the back end today with my host, Mike Andrews. It's going to be a wonderful podcast. I'm really, really excited for this episode. And so stick around. He will be sharing with us his story, what it is that he did with it, and just helping us to dive into his path. So this is 94 Feet. You guys know what's next. We are getting into what is on my mind. First thing I want to talk about is Klay Thompson is back. Yes. After being off two whole NBA seasons, Golden State Warriors, Klay Thompson made his return Sunday night. I can't believe it. You hear the reports coming up day after day. Klay Thompson, he's getting better. He's looking well. We're trying to find a start date. But the fact that he's actually back. He's back. After all this time, he's finally back. His stat line was 17 points. excuse me. 3 rebounds, a block, an assist. And he shot 7 for 18 from the field. All of this was done in just 20 minutes. Just 20 minutes. What's my assessment on Klay's first performance back? I honestly think he was great. I mean, this is someone who hasn't played basketball in over 2 years, considering he had a torn ACL on one leg. He had a broken Achilles tendon on the other leg. I think he did great. And, you know, I even watched the game as it started. This is another element, too, I want to talk about. I watched the game. I don't know how many of you guys saw it, but if you go back, and you probably can find the highlights on YouTube. If you watch the game, I'm listening to the PA announcer as he called Klay's name, you know, to stand up. They're going to the starting lineup. And he had like a single shot camera right on his face. And I'm looking at Klay. And what really captured me in that moment was you could just tell that there was so much on Klay's mind in reference to this first game back. And I really believe Sunday was more than just playing basketball for Thompson. It was almost like it was a reality check. It was a reality check. For the last 2 years, Klay's life has been surgery. It's been rehab, it's been watching film, limited activity, practice, and just repeating that over and over and over, and probably a couple other things in there as well that I haven't mentioned. But that's been his reality. And for the first time, he actually gets a chance to go back and play the game he loves. For the first time. you know, there's a certain kind of level of attention that goes into rehab, into the rehab process, just so he can play basketball again. But what about the mental aspect? What about that? I believe Clay, as he was sitting there on the sideline and he heard his name called, he probably had thoughts and began asking himself, man, can I still do this? I really think so. Does he still have what it takes to actually play this game? It's a two-step process. You know, and overall, I was satisfied with what I saw. I believe the organization as a whole, and probably even more so head coach Steve Kerr, you know, he's got some work cut out for him in terms of just trying to figure out lineups. You know, you got to imagine guys like Jordan Poole, Gary Payton II, Damian Lee, and possibly even Andre Iguodala. Their minutes, their touches are probably going to be reduced. They're probably going to go down to some extent. You know, we know Clay is a focal point in this offense, so head coach Steve Kerr, you know, is going to have to figure out lineups and minutes to support getting Clay back to the what we remember him being, but also not destroying what it is, not destroying the good start that his team has gotten off to this season. So it's definitely got to try to find a balance between the two. You know, and I honestly thought this whole time as we waited for Clay's return, I wasn't worried about him. I wasn't worried about what he was going to look like when he was going to get back. Not even the slightest bit. Nope. Wasn't worried. You know, and I understand that it takes time to ramp up. I understand, you know, that guys have to kind of find themselves and find their rhythm. But I just believe Clay, you know, is a guy who will get there faster than others. I really do. That's just my feeling. That's just my belief. You know, I believe his style of play is very methodical. This isn't a guy whose game is predicated on being explosive. He pretty much is the epitome of a 3-and-D wing. He's a 3-and-D kind of guy that you want on your roster. You know, and he'll probably have to, you know, warm up his lateral movement again, more so just in terms of being able to get back to that defensive prowess that we remember him having for so many great years. But to me, he looked great. And the jump shot looked good to me. So as time goes on, we know that Clay will find his rhythm. I'm very happy that he's back. They will be taking on the Memphis Grizzlies later on tonight, so that should be exciting. So, moving on, COVID-19 and the NBA. So we see that COVID-19 cases, guys, have jumped significantly around the world in the month of December 2021. It was announced early December that the first case of the Omicron variant was located in the state of California. So, obviously, we know that this kind of effect, we know what kind of effect that this can have on our world because we've been going through it now for nearly 2 years come March. You know, and in case our sports, it's even greater. You know, there's an article up on sportsillustrated.com, and I will have it for you in the description if you'd like to take a look and read through it. Just kind of discussing how COVID-19 has impacted in the NBA and the toll that it's had on us. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver was interviewed a few weeks back on ESPN's by ESPN's Malika Andrews on the NBA Today. And Silver stated that him and the rest of the leadership, they sat down and they assessed COVID-19 before the season began. They looked at the possibilities, the outcomes of what could present throughout this year. And pretty much what he said is that they predicted that today was coming. And when I say today, meaning the conditions of today with COVID-19, the ramp up, you know, the possibilities of other variants coming out. He said that they predicted that all this was going to happen. You know, and he went on to essentially confirm that they were not going to pause the season as they didn't feel that it would be the most lucrative option. You know, and I liked his decision. And if you listen to me before, my stance is the same. It's more than just basketball. It is a business. This is people's livelihood. And if these guys don't play, that affects more than just the players. It affects the staff who work at the arenas, ticket sales, commercial deals, sponsors. Stopping the season impacts many different areas. It hurts the expansion of the game, viewership, marketing of the NBA brand. And you know, those are just some of the cons of, you know, why stopping wouldn't be ideal. But one of the pros of not stopping as well is exposure for the guys, is exposure for the men that play in our NBA G League today. You know, and there have been over the last, what, maybe 4 weeks or so, there have been a ton of 10-day contracts that have gone out over the last few weeks. You know, so this is great for some of those guys, like I said, who were in the G League, that got talent, that know how to play and just kind of waiting for their opportunity. How many people have played in the last 4 weeks that maybe in the next years to come, we will begin to recognize their name? You talk about some of the other great players who come out of the G League. Or it's now called the G League. It used to be called the D League. But we talk about players like Danny Green, who plays for the Sixers. Fred VanVleet, who plays for the Toronto Raptors, who came from this G League and really shined. Even Seth Curry, Steph's brother, younger brother. Seth Curry came through the G League as well, and really his game really exploded when, and took off once he came through there. So, I mean, again, there's definitely a benefit for those who were in that position. But I don't see as well where is the benefit, where is it going to benefit us by pausing the season? I don't see what that does for the NBA. The SI article also touches on this as well, that players like Theo Pinson, who just signed a 10-day contract with the Mavericks, he said he didn't even know one play guys were calling. He didn't know one. He said just kind of was screening, cutting, passing, and spacing. Didn't even know it, you know, and I guess, you know, that also can be a con or a downside of all this in terms of keeping the season going and guys being in and out of the lineup with COVID and the safety protocols that the NBA has in place. The downside of all that, or a con, is just the lack of consistency with lineups. It hurt some of our teams in terms of seeding so far within their respective conferences. So, you know, it's going to continue to be that tug of war. I guess another thing is, too, is if the NBA were to pause their season, it's now going to put them back out of schedule again. And the thing is, the NBA, they fought so hard to get back to what it is that we remember them being. They fought so hard in terms of, you know, starting their season in October, being able to end in June. You know, that was a task, you know, and it didn't necessarily make everybody happy to have shortened seasons and shortened time off. However, you know, it's a business, like I said, and it's going to continue to be that tug of war to some extent until, you know, we can find some kind of normalcy. So, I mean, it's just the nature of it. And I think, again, it's just going to continue to be that back and forth. It is. Moving on, Julius Randle. Forward for the New York Knicks. Julius, you got to be able to handle criticism. All right? You have to be able to handle criticism. Last week, Thursday, the Knicks took on the Boston Celtics, and late in the game in the fourth quarter, Randle was caught giving a thumbs down towards the crowd as he was running back on defense. And later on after the game, he went on to explain that this was towards the crowd. And this gesture was to let the fans know that they need to shut the bleep up. Yes, you can fill in the blank there yourself. They need to keep quiet, essentially, is what he's saying. Now, let me say something. Being ridiculed or criticized, let's be honest, is never fun. I don't care what kind of performance you're doing. Nobody wants to be ridiculed or criticized for any kind of performance, okay? Never fun. But to Randle, I say, what else does he want? The Knicks so far have been inconsistent. Randle as an individual hasn't been awful, but he hasn't been spectacular either. This is a guy that got a Most Improved Player Award last year. He got paid in the summer because, don't forget, when Knicks ownership signed him in the summer of 2020, they gave him an incentive for the remaining years on his contract. That if he could get the team back into the playoffs or above 500, it was something like that. I don't know the specifics of it, but like I said, it was an incentive, and he got it done. That he would be, you know, paid more for the remaining years in his contract. And I guess my thing is, does he expect the New York fans to get up and sing his praises when they aren't winning? I mean, really, is that what he's expecting? I mean, I don't understand. Why are you getting emotional about this? Why? They're not playing well. The Knicks are not playing well. And even more so, Julius as an individual. On top of that, fans in general, historically, have always been hot and cold. They've always been. Today, they're screaming and supporting you. Tomorrow, it could be another story. That's just the nature of it. So my word of advice to Julius Randle, just play basketball. Let the refs do what they got to do. Let the coaches do what they got to do. Let the fans do what they got to do. Julius, just play basketball. That's it. Anyway, guys, I'm going to go ahead and drop the Crunch Time segment. We're going to go ahead and get on over to the line. Again, this is 94 Feet. If you are a new listener, subscribe. We're going to go ahead and get on over. I have Mike Andrews waiting for me on the other side. Okay, guys, so we are at our final stop for today's show, the line segment. And this is my most favorite part of the program. So for those of you guys that are new, we not only touch on sports with this show, but we also talk about life, real challenges, real circumstances that maybe you've gone through individually yourselves, or maybe you know somebody else that has also encountered some of these things. So sometimes I'm on here by myself, but there are days like today where I'm joined by a guest. And today I'm joined by my uncle. His first name is Mike. And Uncle Mike, let me just ask you, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm good, nephew. How are you?
I'm good. I'm doing well. And I'm just really grateful to have you here on the program. I know it's going to be a lot of fun. For those of you guys that are also new, like I said, Mike has a very interesting story to tell. And I always look to bring knowledge. I always look to bring insight from multiple areas of life and experiences. But I myself, I can only speak to what it is that I know. I can only speak to what it is that I have experienced. But this is why Mike is here. All right. So please, it's a pleasure having you on the show today, Mike. Tell us what's your story, what you did with it. And I'd say, let's open up with your background. Tell us where you're from.
Okay. So Mike Andrews, I am from New Jersey. I was born in Newark, New Jersey, and I was actually raised all throughout Essex County, mainly Irvington, lived in Orange for a time, lived in East Orange, and I even spent some time in the South at one point. All right, so I grew up in a big family, I want to say like a lower middle class family. You know, both my parents had worked blue collar jobs. They worked in the factories, and I'm the youngest of six siblings. And basically, you know, both my parents have, you know, worked hard to take care of myself and to take care of my other five siblings as well. And unfortunately, when I was around maybe 12 or 13 years old, you know, my parents weren't really seeing eye to eye on things anymore, like in terms of, you know, just the marriage and stuff. So, they didn't divorce, but they did separate. And, as a result of that, I actually went to go live with relatives for about a year or two. And then shortly after that, I actually ended up living with my mother, throughout my teenage years. I did have contact with my dad. You know, he would come to some of my games because I played basketball in high school.
Okay.
And he would take me back and forth to some of my my practices and stuff. But for the most part, you know, my teenage years going into like my young adulthood, I did pretty much live with my mother and then going into college.
Nice. Excellent. Yeah. So that, I mean, that right there just kind of gives us a good taste of who you are. Not that I don't know. Again, guys, this is my uncle and I'm obviously his nephew, so I know a lot about him. But for our listeners, again, I want to make sure you guys get a good taste just of the person that he is. So Mike, dive in a little bit deeper with us. You do have a business. Could you tell us the name of your business and what exactly do you work in? What exactly is this business about?
All right. So, I'm actually a certified personal trainer, and I have a business, Strong to Prosper Fitness. And I actually had launched this business towards the end of 2020. And ultimately, because I'm in ministry, and you know, I'm connected with a lot of people in ministry, a lot of people in the church, a lot of people in the body of Christ. You know, one of the things that I really wanted to do is I wanted to try to help like those that are in positions of leadership and authority within ministry.
Okay.
To get in shape. So basically, I started this business to be able to minister to pastors, elders, deacons, worship leaders, and I've also extended to Christian business leaders as well.
Okay.
So.
Very nice. Very, very nice. Let me ask you, so I'm sorry, did you have more? I don't want to cut you off.
No.
Okay. I was going to say, so physical fitness, why physical fitness? You know, what sparked this interest for you?
All right. So I was actually introduced to physical fitness when I was in high school. And, you know, being an athlete, I played basketball all 4 years of high school. I ran track my first year. And, you know, basketball has just completely changed, you know, over the years, like, you know, in today's basketball, you know, BJ, you know, me and you, we've had these conversations about that.
Right.
Today's
right.
Basketball, you know, it's a lot of up and down the court. Everybody wants to shoot three pointers. you know, to get out on the break and then, you know, dunking and stuff like that. That's one thing. But like when I was coming up, I mean, basketball was about physicality. It was about banging. It was about boxing out. It was about pounding the glass. I mean, you literally could be physically hurt by the time you finished playing games. And then, you know, obviously played a lot of street ball too. So, so I was introduced to weightlifting, and I actually had went from 170 pounds as a freshman all the way to my senior year at about maybe 205 pounds. And I gained all that weight, you know, by lifting weights and training throughout high school.
Okay.
I went there and I actually carried that into college and started to play college ball initially. But then, fortunately, you know, like I had to, you know, work in college. So I had to quit playing ball, but I still continued to lift weights. And I just grew like really, really fond of it, you know, and you know, and I've been training consistently for like the last 20 years.
Nice. Right.
What I will say in terms of, you know, becoming a personal trainer, what I found is that over the years, like every time I'm in the gym, like I would see, you know, maybe this person or whatever working out, and I would see them doing stuff incorrectly. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, naturally, it's like, I would just go over to them and I would be like, okay, you know, can I show you a better way? Or, you know, maybe that's not the right way. Let me show you the best way to do this. And I've had so many of those different encounters, you know, so, you know, I'm really passionate about that. And I'm passionate about, you know, people doing things the right way.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's good. And I'll say to you the same thing I've said to many other people too, is thank God for people like yourself who actually follow their passion. Because I think there's so many people who are very talented, you know, or they have a specific area of influence. And sometimes it only stays as something that's internal or just something that bothers them, but they never actually take action on it. And I believe that's where the power starts to come in. And that's where the opportunity to have impact and influence on others really begins. So I'm really grateful that you took, like I said, action on that. If you could tell us a little bit about your current occupation, tell us what you do. And then tell us about your journey in terms of health. You were diagnosed with a specific kind of illness. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so in addition to being a personal trainer and having a business, I'm also a social worker.
Okay.
So I'll just say that I work for the government. So I do that. In terms of, you had mentioned the illness. So when I was 23 years old, I was actually diagnosed with what you call biphenotypic leukemia.
Okay.
You know, I was working full time. I was going to school full time in college. And, all of a sudden it's like, you know, I was into other activities as well. And, shortly after that, my life just got completely flipped upside down when I was diagnosed with biphenotypic leukemia. So leukemia is actually cancer of the blood.
Okay.
And bio means two. So I had what you call acute myeloid leukemia, and I had what you call acute lymphoid leukemia, but I had them both tied into one. So that's what made the situation even more urgent in terms of, you know, my health and, you know, obviously being a threat to my life at the time.
Wow, understood. Yeah. We have more questions. I don't want to dive too much into it now, but I'll leave it towards the end. Let me ask you, what are your passions? What are you passionate about? What wakes you up?
So let me just say this. I will touch on passions, but just not to leave anybody hanging. Okay. I've been in remission for over 20 years. I've been cancer free for over 20 years. So thank God, you know, so, just to touch on that a little bit. So, in terms of my passions, definitely working out, fitness is just part of my DNA.
Okay.
You know, I was sharing recently that I actually had just had COVID recently, And I'm gonna say probably the toughest thing for me during my isolation was not being able to go to the gym, you know? So that was really, really tough for me. So working out is definitely a passion for me. Definitely traveling is a passion for me. You know, I got married actually a few years ago. So I'll say definitely traveling with my wife is a passion for me.
Nice.
You know, whether it be domestic or whether it be international, you know, I've been to multiple continents. I've been to multiple countries. I've been to more than half of the states in this country. So, yeah, it's definitely a passion for me. And street ministry. You know, those of you who don't know, I am a man of faith. I am a born again Christian, and
nice.
I love to go out on the streets. And I actually, right now at this moment, because of the way my schedule is, me and a few other brothers, we actually go to Newark, and we do outreach, and we feed the homeless. And what we do is we share the message of God through having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So I'm very passionate about that.
Nice, very nice. And I just want to back up for a second. I'm glad you mentioned that you have been in remission. You know, you said for 20 plus years. I think that's important to mention too, just because I think, you know, one of the reasons why, I just want to share this with my listeners, one of the reasons why I reached out to my Uncle Mike and why I wanted to have him on is, I think sometimes after, you know, major illnesses or major conditions, you know, that, you know, sometimes it can take up to months or years to really overcome or get healthy. I think sometimes you wonder, is there any sense of life after, or what is it that you should be doing? And I think that this looks different for everybody. But what I really wanted to highlight today with Mike is to show you that even after a major illness like cancer, and many of us know what cancer is, we know what it's done to people, you know, that there's still a life. There's still things that you can go out there and do. There's still ideas or desires, things that you can still pursue. And that's really what I hope to convey here with you guys by having him here on the show. So thank you for touching on that. Your three biggest hobbies. Let me ask you that. What are your three biggest hobbies?
Three biggest hobbies. Well, you know, with working a full-time job, having a business, something else that's on my plate as well is that I'm also in grad school.
Okay.
And I'm in the process of actually trying to obtain my master's of social work degree.
Nice.
So, you know, with my busy schedule and, you know, not to mention, obviously, you know, being a husband, being a family man, you know, I don't have a whole lot of time for hobbies now in this season of my life,
right?
Because I'm so busy. But one of the things that I am into is, you know, reading. You know, I like to read different books. I like to learn. You know, my favorite book, you know, obviously is the Bible.
Okay.
So I definitely like to read about the stories in there, the real life stories, and obviously the story of God, the story of Christ, and you know, definitely see how people, you know, during those times dealt with stuff and how it's applicable to the times of today.
Right.
So it's a life book for me. So definitely business books, finance books, and you know, stuff on fitness. Listening to podcasts, you know, I'm into that. And I would especially say like podcasts that present like balance and objective viewpoints on what's happening in the world and in society today.
Okay.
Unfortunately, sometimes you know, you might watch something like mainstream media and, you know, you have extremes, you know, and you might have extremes to the left, you might have extremes to the right. So I always enjoy something that's balanced, but something that's objective, you know. And then walking, you know, I like to walk. I like to walk on date nights with my wife.
Okay.
And, you know, and my father, you know, God bless him. I mean, he gets out there and, you know, he walks, you know, a couple of miles a day sometimes. And whenever I could join him, I try to do that as well. So,
yeah, I know that's definitely my inspiration to get up. I'm like, man, listen, if my 82 year old, almost 83 year old granddad can get up and walk every day, what's my excuse? I better get up and do my own thing. So, I mean, I definitely.
No excuses.
No excuses. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Uncle Mike, I always try to, with these podcasts, my biggest thing is we talk about sports, we talk about basketball. And obviously we always enjoy We always enjoy watching athletes compete. We always enjoy watching athletes give it their all, to essentially win the game. But however, we know that we're in the game of life. And it's important that we continue to, I would say, put into place whatever is necessary to help us arrive to where it is that we're going, which could look different for per person. In your own words, could you share with us four pieces of advice on how you would encourage people to win in the game of life?
Okay. Yeah, so
three to four.
Okay. Well, definitely, I would say number one, put God first. Put God first in every single aspect of your life. That can mean, you know, several things, but definitely, you know, when you wake up in the morning, I mean, you know, thank God that, you know, you woke up in the morning, because unfortunately, every morning that we wake up, you know, there's many people that are not waking up that morning.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
You know, so definitely, you know, put God first in life. Start off with some prayer and just remember God and all the different things that we do in life. You know, remember God when we're working. Remember God, in our minds and, you know, meditating on him. Remember him, you know, when we're taking care of ourselves physically. You know, our body is a temple.
Right.
So make sure, you know, we're glorifying God in our body, you know. So definitely just putting him first in everything, you know. Not to preach a sermon or anything like that, but I'm reminded of a scripture, Matthew 6:33, one of my favorite scriptures. Seek ye first his kingdom and all his righteousness, and all things will be added onto you. So when you seek him first and his way, his way of living, you know, he'll bless you and he'll add on to you what you need, you know. So definitely that.
Right.
I would say, secondly, do what you're passionate about. Whether it's you know, if it's a job, it's a career, it's a business, just make sure you're passionate about it.
Right.
You know, and obviously make sure it's legal.
yes.
But hey man, it's a lot of shadiness out here nowadays.
No,
so
you're right. It's a new
time. I gotta keep it real with that, man. You know, but when I say that, you know, make sure that whatever it is that you do, I mean, make sure that it would be like one of those things where, like, if you know, if you could afford to, you would actually do it for free, you know, for no problem at all. So
that.
Structure, you know, having, you know, structure in your life, you know, and definitely maybe like having like a system in your life, you know. So whatever you do, whether it's a job or whether it's a business, find out who's the best in whatever that is that you want to do, and find out who's killing it in that industry. Find out who's killing it in that job, in that business, and, you know, and that, you know, whatever that is. And you know, take some nuggets and take some tips from that, you know, and then align it up with basically, you know, who you are. You know, God has created us differently and, you know, definitely, you know, unique from one another. So and then from there, put that system together, put that structure together, you know. Definitely punctuality is important within that system, you know, being on time for things.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a job to do and say your job is supposed to start at say 9 o'clock or whatever, you know, try to be there at like 8:40, 8:45 or something like that, you know, in order to just make sure that, you know, things are in place in order for you to work your system, in order for you to work your structure throughout the day.
Right, right.
And then leave room for like after that, you know, if you need to go like above and beyond with it, you know, and that kind of segues into like, you know, the next thing, next piece of advice that I would give, you know, work hard, work your butt off in whatever it is that you do, you know, go above and go beyond, you know? So,
nice.
You know, I would say, you know, just as a quick example, let's just say, you know, you're bodybuilding, and it might be you and it might be another guy, whatever, that are going to be looked at as like the, you know, like the top two prospects for being the champion.
Okay.
All right. So, you know, say if you're going to train for about 45 minutes on a particular body part, you know, think in your mind, like, you know what, maybe your opponent might be training 15 more minutes. So, you know what, maybe I'm going to go like the extra mile and I'm going to train an extra 30 minutes or whatever. I'm going to outwork that person.
Right.
You know, but just, you know, working hard and just being the best that you could be in whatever you do.
I like that. So let me see if I can remember these. So we talked about remembering God and keeping Christ first. We talked about structure. Follow your passion. And I think there was one other one you mentioned.
Work hard.
Okay. Work hard.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I like the example you gave about work. And I was going to touch on that because I actually just spoke with a friend of mine last week. And me and him were just talking about the importance of work and just doing jobs. And we were saying that even though sometimes you may do a job, and this is actually going to tie into your point with structure, even though sometimes you may do a job that is not your passion or something you want to do forever, we talked about the importance of work because there's many different things we can learn, especially when you're working for someone. One, it teaches you to learn how to be punctual. Like you said, if you know you need to be at work at 9, you know that it's going to take you a certain amount of time in the morning to get up, to prepare yourself, have breakfast. If you have children, you need to get your kids ready. You know, so it will teach you how to learn how to work on a schedule, to be punctual. Another thing that's good about work is also when you have to, if you have somebody you have to answer to, a manager, a boss, a director, again, you know, learning how to have respect for those who are in leadership above you. You know, there's many benefits and things that somebody can gain from working, even if it's not necessarily something that you want to do forever. You know, I can tell you, I myself, I work in insurance, you know, for those of you guys that don't know. Not something I want to do forever, but I've grown so much because I'm a part of an organization, one that's well-rooted and that has a great foundation. And there's so many things that I've learned just from watching or even just from working with some of the people that I've worked with. So I definitely agree with you that about that, just in terms of structure, you know, and in some ways you can tie your first 2 points between keeping Christ first and having structure together, you know, because that is something that for us as Christians, like you said, having that alone time with God and having that time to be able just to understand who we are in his eyes and in relation to him is a part of our structure, is a part of our foundation. So I think that's wonderful. I love that. And then, like you said, be passionate and giving it your all, you know, being able to, you know, don't do things at a 50% capacity. You know, if you can do 100, then you do 100. You know, you want to go all out. And I think it's also, you want to be authentic. You want to be authentic in all that you do. And that's what I really try to do here with these podcasts as well, is let's talk about the real stuff, you know, that we go through. So I love it.
Just to piggyback off of that,
sure.
You know, like if you're authentic about something, I mean, you'll be able to tell or that will come out, you know, based on how passionate you are about whatever it is that you're doing.
Right.
You know, because it's real and it's like you're not just there, you know, winging it.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right.
So, what I find, especially in the field of social work, because basically, you know, you're dealing with people's problems on a regular basis.
Right.
You know, so so it's like, you know, you have to try to be you have to try, you know, you have to be like authentic and and just really be willing to take on that situation. And if you can't, then you know you're not gonna last long in that field.
Right.
So.
Yeah. No, I think that's excellent. You know what you touched on, like you said, it because we're real people, you gotta meet people where they're at. Come to them with real information. Come to them, you know, with real passion behind what it is that you're doing. That's pretty much what we're touching on. That's what it's about. So thank you. Thank you for touching on that. Uncle Mike, I have a couple questions here that I wanted to just share with you as well. So we'll just start from the top here. So we are into a new year. Happy New Year to you guys again. We are now in the year of 2022. People around the world are making resolutions to quote unquote get back in shape. What are some recommendations you have to help people to actually stick to these resolutions, as it's easy to forget them or slack off over time? And I know many people who I've heard this, you know, time and time over again. And you know, this is my year to get in shape, this is my year to lose weight. And again, they get started, and as time goes on, it fades off, it fizzles. So any recommendations that you have to help people stick to these resolutions?
Discipline. I mean, discipline is like the number one thing. Discipline and, you know, being real with yourself, you know. Okay. Listen, I know I'm going to start off with this thing and I'll probably be strong maybe like the first 2-3 weeks or whatever, but then I'm going to feel some kind of way, you know, in about a month, and I'm gonna wanna drop off and stuff. So I have to realize that about myself. And, you know, I have to exercise the discipline that it's gonna take to be able to overcome that. You know, accountability. You know, find people that that could hold you accountable, that could make you remember, you know, what your specific goals are.
Right.
You know. Consistency. I'll say progressive consistency. Because you know, you can be consistent and, you know, and not, you know, getting any results or not making any headway.
Right.
But you could be progressive and productive and you know, getting the results and stuff that you're looking for.
Right.
Yeah. So definitely discipline, consistency. I mean, those are just so important, and accountability.
Let me ask you this. I was going to answer it, but I'll see what you want to say first. How do you develop discipline? What do you think? How can you develop discipline in this area?
All right. Constantly just saying, like, no matter what, I don't care what the obstacle is, I don't care what the situation is, you know, like, you know, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do this. And praying, and you know, just, you know, asking God to give you the strength to persevere, to give you the strength to continue. And then after you pray, you know, you do your part. You know, there's a scripture that says, you know, faith without works is dead.
Right.
So you pray, you do your part, and you know, God will give you the strength to you know, to maintain that discipline.
Right. I like that. I like that. What I was going to say is, for me, like the first thing I thought about is, because I was saying to myself, how can somebody really develop discipline in this area? I think a good thing to keep in mind, it's learning how to not give in to, you know, the desire of just wanting to do nothing or to just relax or take a night off. It's learning how to get past that. And I think, it's that whole internal, you know, aspect first before anything else. Internally, you have to make up your mind, as my Uncle Mike just said, I'm going to get this workout in for 30 minutes, for 40 minutes, whatever it is. You got to be able to make that up in your mind. And again, when you have these desires to just relax, take a load off, maybe sit down and have dinner early, not yet. I need to get this workout in first. I think it's learning how to ignore that first or in the faith, as we call it, it's learning how to get out of the flesh. Ignore the flesh for a second so you can get up and go ahead and do what it is that you need to do. So I like that. I like that.
And just to further piggyback off of that, you know, also, you know, you have this thing in business and this thing in terms of achieving goals where, you know, we have what you call the why.
Okay.
And, you know, why do I want to do this? Why right. do I want to do that? And it's like, you know, you just keep asking yourself, like, why? And as you keep answering those questions, it's like, you know, your why gets deeper. And then it's the why that will drive you. It's also the why that's going to remind you. It's the why that's going to keep you going.
Right.
You know, and
yeah.
And, you know, and then even, you know, like I talked about with the consistency, you know what? Oh, it's so tough for me or whatever to do this, you know, this 45 minutes to like an hour workout.
Right.
You know what? Maybe what you might want to do, you know, maybe try 15, 20 minutes. All right. And, you know, do that one day.
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't so bad. Let me try it a second day.
There you go.
Let me try it a third day.
Mm-hmm.
And the more and more you train, the more and more you do things, it's like, you know what? I want to up the ante a little bit.
Yeah.
Let me get this to like a half hour.
Yep.
You know, I kind of compare that with, you know, when individuals first become Christians,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, they have to learn how to, I guess, grow in the grace of God and grow in Christ. Sometimes, you know, they may start off with maybe reading the Bible for maybe 15 minutes a day. And the more and more you read 15 minutes a day, the more passionate you get about it. It's like, you know, you want to read more.
Right. Yeah.
And then, you know, and then it's like your appetite gets bigger. Mm-hmm. Then it's like, man, I want to read for a half hour now. Now I want to read for 40, 45 minutes now. Before you know it, you're reading for an hour, hour and a half.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, small steps. You yeah. know, there's a saying where, you know, before you can run, you gotta walk.
Yeah. Increments.
You walk. You walk, you gotta crawl.
Mm. Yeah.
So, you know, little steps at a time, but you know, consistency and discipline with it.
I like that. I like that. Like, that's kind of what stands out to me, is it's almost like learning how to work in increments. You know, you start with a little bit and you just work your way up little by little, little by little. And again, that can look different for everybody. It depends on where you are.
Yes.
Depends kind of what you're aiming for, you know, with your exercise and things of that nature. But again, little by little, the concept is still the same. Next question, just kind of navigating back to the cancer diagnosis. So, the effect that cancer can have on a person is obvious to many people, but I believe this diagnosis was more than just being sick. So Uncle Mike, in your own words, can you tell us what this episode in your life, in terms of being diagnosed with cancer, what did it mean to you?
Boy, you know what? It's kind of twofold. Like, I want to say, like, when it was actually happening, you know, I was a young person at the time. I was 23 at the time. And when it was actually happening, it was just more like, listen, I'm working full time. I'm in school full time. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do that or whatever. This cancer, you know, it's a hiccup to me right now. Okay, there's a cure for this thing. Let me get this cure. Let me get back to my life.
Okay.
You know, so it wasn't that deep, and it didn't really resonate to me that much at the actual time. But you know, as I started to go through the recovery process, there were definitely some demons in my life that started to develop during that time. You know, I went through depression. I felt like I went through some loneliness. I even had a bout of addiction with alcohol for a little while at that point, you know. And mind you, this is before I even, you know, became a Christian. I didn't become a Christian until maybe like 5 years later.
Okay.
You know, after I was almost, you know, done with the 5 years. But, you know, just going through that 5 year period, it just really flipped my life upside down. And, right. you know, just going through those different experiences eventually led me to Christ.
Got it.
You know, so, you know, I mean, since I've been on that journey, and then when I look back and I reflect, and I'm saying, like, man, like, you know what, I definitely suffered a lot of trauma back then. But I also think about the fact that, you know, even as I was recovering, and I was still going through, you know, my stages of, you know, just being rebellious to God. I'm like, man, God had mercy on me when I look back at it. I mean, I'm just so grateful to Almighty God that He had mercy on me and you know, He didn't let me go during those 5 years. And he kept me until I was able to actually get to know Him and have a relationship with Him.
Wow.
So so mercy, definitely mercy and definitely His grace.
Got it. Would you say, when I listen to you speak, it almost sounds like when you were initially going through it, you had one perspective of it, but it sounds like today you look at it completely different. Because I noticed you said in the beginning it was more so just kind of, let's just get healthy so we can get back and do what it is that we need to do. Whereas it's more so you have a greater appreciation for it because you understand just some of the other things that you had come up against. You talked about the depression, the loneliness, you know, the short period of time, just even with the alcohol. And you see what you were kept from. It's kind of that's what I'm taking away from what you're saying today, which I think, you know, what else I would also say we can kind of glean from that is that many different experiences that we can all go through in life. And sometimes initially you may have one thought of what you think the experience is or what you think you can garner from what it is that you're going through. But I think sometimes it's years later, as time goes past, that you look back and you recognize where you are and you start to look at that thing differently. You start to look at that one experience or whatever it was that occurred differently than from the time that you did when it initially took place. And I think that's just, you know, a part of our natural human growth. You know, just as time goes on, we see more life, we do more things, you learn more, you think differently. You're not the same person you were before.
Yeah.
So I think that that's also, like I said, one thing I kind of gleaned from what you mentioned there. So thank you for sharing that. Next question, have you ever failed at anything before? And what did you learn from it? What did you do as a result of the failure?
You know what? I failed, I want to say, at multiple things in life. One thing that comes to mind is probably my first business experience I failed with.
Okay.
So, you know, there's multiple business models with being an entrepreneur, you know. You know, you could be, you know, the entrepreneur, you could be the owner of, like, say, like a big company.
Okay.
You know, you could be the owner of, like, maybe like a small, like, mom and pop's establishment or something like that. You know, you could be the owner of, you know, say, like a you know, a personalized business like what I have. Like I would be considered what you call a solopreneur.
Okay.
Where basically it's like I don't have any employees, you know, like I basically do the business, you know, all by myself and stuff. But you know, I do all the work, I have all the interaction, you know, with my clients and stuff. Mm. You also have, you know, what you would call maybe like an intrapreneur. Mm. You know, where you know, you might be like the CEO or you might be like the VP or something of a company. You know, you might be like the number two guy or like the three guy or whatever, but you know, but you basically treat that business like, you know, like your business.
Right.
So model that I was first involved in is what you would call direct selling, which is multi-level marketing. You know, an MLL type business and stuff, you know? Mm. So when I first heard about that opportunity, I went ahead and, you know, I went there and I got involved and everything. And, you know, the first few months or whatever, I was, you know, I was pretty stagnant because I didn't realize, like, you know, the amount of effort it was going to take, you know, to just put into the business and stuff. So then I actually had to go to an event where, you know, where I was, like, I had multiple business partners or whatever that were part of, like, our company and stuff as independent contractors and MLM. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I went there and I got the training and everything and I just got fired up and stuff. And then it's like, you know, basically I just, you know, I hit the ground running, mm-hmm. you know, but, you know, in my experience, you know, over the couple of years or whatever that I was running with the business, you know, unfortunately, you know, I didn't get the customers I wanted to get. I didn't get the contracts I wanted to get. And, you know, I didn't get the business partners that I wanted to get. And, you know, God knows that, you know, I tried really hard to be successful, you know, in that business. And then it was just like, you know, after a couple of years, it's like, you know, things just kind of just fizzled out a little bit. And then some of the people and stuff that I was running with, you know, they wanted to go on to another opportunity when I wasn't ready to go on to another opportunity. So as a result of that, I'm working that business for about 3-4 years.
Right.
But you know, it just didn't pan out, unfortunately, you know.
What did you learn?
One thing I would definitely say that it taught me, it was like, man, business is hard. It is hard being an entrepreneur. And, you know, even though I worked hard in it, there were some times I will say that I might have treated it like it was a hobby.
Right.
And, you know, and there's a saying in business, you know, if you treat your business like a hobby, you'll make hobby money. But if you treat your business like a business, you know, I mean, you know, you'll make business money and you'll be successful in it, you know?
Like that. Yeah, I like
you
that.
Know? So, I failed at business initially, you know, through that business model that I mentioned, MLM. And, you know, but what I realized is that it actually intrigued my interest even more with entrepreneurship. And I just had a whole nother level of respect when it just comes to the world of business and when it comes to, you know, things such as capitalism.
Right.
You know, so, you know, that's the lesson that I learned, you know, in failing from that business.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, and as I've mentioned it before, with every experience, you know, we learn, we grow, and it just kind of gives us a new perspective, you know, if we decide to go back into it. Or better yet, puts us in a better position to share with others, you know, or impart to other people. So thank you. Appreciate you sharing that. Next question here. A stable diet and exercise are crucial for those desiring to live a healthy lifestyle. Which of these two would you recommend putting a higher priority or focus on?
Both. Both. Okay. Definitely has to be balanced. You know, obviously, you know, like when we, you know, if you eat garbage, your body's going to turn into a garbage dump.
Garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah, basically. So, but if you eat healthy, then, you know, your body's going to be able to, you know, receive those nutrients and, you know, your body will be able to maintain.
Right.
You know, in terms of, you know, working out, you know, as we get older, our muscle fibers tend to deteriorate a little bit as we get older. That's why usually when as people get older, you know, they're considered like a little more fragile, a little more frail and stuff. And you know, they lose a lot of weight and stuff as they get older, you know. So, right. But that's why resistance training is just like really important to build the muscle, but also to maintain the muscle. So, the resistance training, you know, and you know, the fitness, you know, along with, you know, with the eating healthy, I mean, you know, they collaborate together.
Yeah, I agree.
So there definitely has to be a balance.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, for me, I think, you know, when you talk about getting in shape, I think the first thing people think about is exercise. That's the first thing that comes to mind. You think about going to the gym, you know, you think about all these different, you know, exercises, calisthenics, whatever that you could be doing to get yourself in shape, you know, weightlifting. But I think, you know, a lot of people, they forget about the dieting as well, you know, or just eating appropriately, I should say. You know, sometimes, you know, you have a person that wants to lose weight. It's not so much of a concept of stop eating. That's not going to get you where you want to go. But it's also, it's more so of a thought of, what are you eating? How are you eating? Are you keeping a balanced diet? I think, like you said, the two really do go hand in hand. If I had to choose one, I would begin with dieting. Because guess what? I think the exercise, you'll see the results in your exercise when you're eating appropriately. You know, I think you'll see them, you know, a lot quicker than if you would, like I said, if the diet is poor. If I had to choose one. In the years to come, Uncle Mike, where do you see your business going? Strong to Prosper Fitness. Where do you see it going?
Well, I definitely see it going digital as well. There's one point where I'm doing definitely virtual training.
Okay.
I'm more of a hands-on type guy. Like I love to do things personally and stuff, but obviously with, in light of everything that's going on in our society and with just life in terms of schedule and in terms of busyness or whatever.
Right.
It's definitely going to have to probably be a balance of in-person and virtually. You know, I mentioned before that I'm also doing stuff with social work as well. You know, like I'm actually in grad school right now to obtain my master's degree and become a licensed therapist. Mm. You know, so I definitely want to, you know, do like a collaboration of that. I definitely have some things in mind, but I just can't really share right now at this moment in terms of you know, what that whole structure and stuff is.
Right. Right.
But I definitely, you know, from the fitness component, fitness standpoint, still doing like a lot of like in-persons, but also doing, you know, some virtual training as well.
Nice. Yeah. And I would definitely, just for my listeners, those of you guys that really are taking interest in what he's talking about here, I'll have my Uncle Mike's information in the comments of the notes for the podcast, just in case you want to get connected with him. If you want to check out his content, like I said, it will be there for you to take a peek if you'd like. But yeah, no, that definitely sounds exciting. And, you know, like you said, with business, you know, things are always you're always looking for ways to grow, to keep up with your competition, to keep up with the current times. And like you said, maybe, you know, 25 years ago, if we look back, people wouldn't be talking about trying to do fitness virtually. But in today's world, where we are in 2022, we talk about the impact that COVID-19 has had on our world. Again, it just forces people to reinvent themselves and to think differently and think greater. So I love it. I love it. Final question for you, Uncle Mike. How do you want to be remembered when your life on this earth is done? How do you want to be remembered?
Basically, I just want to be remembered as somebody that fulfilled my calling and my purpose for God.
Nice.
You know, I don't want to be remembered as somebody who had a lot of potential, but never fulfilled my potential. I want to be remembered as somebody that that basically gave it his all as a personal trainer, someone that gave it his all, you know, in social work and being a therapist. You know, I want to be remembered as a man that lived, breathed, and lived his life for Jesus Christ. I want to be remembered as a great husband. I want to be remembered as a great father. I want to be remembered as a man that left a legacy, that passed on from generation to generation. You know, so that's how I want to be remembered. Like, you know, like, I don't want to be that person that basically went to the grave, and then basically all my ideals and everything that the Lord had called me to do is buried with me.
Right.
You know, so
I love it.
Let it all, you know, let it all out.
Right. Yeah, no, I love that. And I think one of the reasons why I would typically save this question or something, you know, that's something somewhat similar to this question with all my guests, I normally save it to the end. And that really is just because I think this question, it purges so deep, you know, within one's heart. And I think it forces you to start thinking in a more deep manner, you know, because I think with everything that you mentioned just here, we talk about, you know, how is it that we want to be remembered before, you know, we get off this earth? The reality of it is nobody knows when that last day is going to be. So what does that mean? Let this be the encouragement to live the life and live the way that you want to be remembered. And I say it to myself before I say it to anybody else. There's no perfection here, even as you listen to me talk. I think, you know, it's a daily commitment that, you know, the minute your head leaves that pillow, you know, you're thinking about the fact that you have another day to add on to the reputation of the way people see you, the way people view you, the way that you're remembered. You know, and like I said, it doesn't mean that it's easy. You know, we talk about hard work. That was one of the things we talked about today. It's not always easy, you know, but again, there are benefits that will come with it in terms of having that proper structure. There's benefits that will come with it in terms of the people that you will be able to impart to based off of doing what it is that you're supposed to do and doing it now, you know, in whatever capacity you can. You know, maybe you desire to own your own business. You know, and maybe you don't have the funds right now to launch what it is that you're seeing in your heart currently. And whatever capacity you can do to support your business, whatever capacity you can do to chase those desires, those passions of yours, do it in whatever way. And as time goes on, just like we talked about before with some of the other things with exercise, it's all about increments, little by little, little by little, little by little. You're building, you're building, you're building, you're building, you're building. So I love it. I think that was an excellent answer. And that's all I got for you today, Uncle Mike. So any closing thoughts, anything here that you wanted to just add on, maybe that we didn't touch on today?
Nah, thank you so much for having me on and inviting me on. I really appreciate it. You know, I'm just, I'm very proud of you. I'm very proud of you as my nephew. Like, I remember from the time you were a baby and, you know, and I just, you know, watched you grow up as, you know, as like a boy, a teenager. And now it's like, you're just a grown manly man. So I'm just very proud of you. And, you know, and just, you know, just your heart and just how much, you know, you just desire to please God and to be a blessing to Him and be a blessing to others. And I just know that you're gonna continue just to do His will, and you're gonna be successful. And you know, I'm just looking forward to being able to talk more and more about your testimony as well and share your testimony with other people. So keep up the good work, nephew.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I appreciate that. And this is my heart, guys. You know, media, you know, being real with people, sports, this is what I like to do. And as I just shared with you a second ago, whatever you can do to chase your passion, do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. So, again.
This is who you are. This is who you are, BJ.
Yeah.
This is who you are. So,
yeah.
Run with it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, for those of you guys that are new, this is 94 Feet. I will definitely be back with more content in line with what it is that you are hearing today. So if you've enjoyed it, please make sure you hit that subscribe button. It's been a pleasure having you, all you guys here on the show. Uncle Mike, thank you again for everything that you shared with us, from your experiences, things that you've gone through. And even you guys as my listeners, I hope you can find at least a nugget or two in there, something that you can actively start applying to your life today. I thank you guys always for your time. Happy New Year to you, and we will talk to you soon.
Take care, everybody.